Grace to you and peace this week from the King of Kings, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last week, if you recall, we talked about angels, right? And the great war that's going on in the heavenly places and the unseen realms between the holy angels of Christ and the unholy evil demons of Satan. And today I'd like to look with you at comparing the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan, because they're obviously very different. And of course, we're not going to look at all the differences, just a few of them. But what I'd really like to look at with you is the heart of the matter. See if we can get to the very center of the difference between Christ's kingdom and the kingdom of Satan. And so let's take a look at this today and see what God would teach us so that we can take greater delight in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So let's take a look. What are the differences between these two kingdoms, that of Christ and of Satan? Well, first difference we could look at is the kingdom of Christ is eternal and the kingdom of Satan is very short. It's just here for a very little time. Where do we read that? Well, we could take a look here at Psalm 145. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endures throughout all generations. Remember that verse in Isaiah 9 when it says, for unto us a child is born, right? You know that one? And it says, and of the government shall be upon his shoulder, and of the increase of, that's Jesus' government, and of peace there will be no end, no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. So Christ is eternal, but the devil's kingdom is very short. We know that we're of God, says John the Apostle, and the whole world is in the power of the evil one, but only for a little while. For Satan and his angels were defeated, it says there in Revelation 12, after Christ's victory, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. So what happened? The devil and his angels were cast down to the earth. And rejoice then, O heaven, and you that dwell therein, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil's come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. So there's number one difference. Christ's kingdom is eternal. The devil's is temporary, short. Secondly, Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of death, but Christ's is a kingdom of life. Remember what Jesus said to the Jews who wanted to murder him? He says, you're of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, right? That's what the devil is. Everywhere he goes, he kills, he destroys. He destroys marriages, he destroys people, he destroys friendships, he destroys nations, he destroys souls. But Christ says in John chapter 10, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And Jesus, we know, even laid down his life for us, that we believing on him might have eternal life. And on the third day, what happened? He died for our sins, and then he conquered death. He rose victorious, lives forever. So Christ is a kingdom of life. The devil's, Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of death. It's all death. That's all it is death. Christ is all life, and abundant life at that, and eternal. Thirdly, now the difference is that the devil, Satan's kingdom, is a kingdom of lies. It's built on lies. It's all about lies. And Christ's kingdom is all about the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, right? He was a murderer from the beginning, Jesus says of the devil. He has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. But of Christ, remember when he was with Pilate, Pilate says, so you're a king? Jesus says, you say that I'm a king. And for this I was born, for this I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who's of the truth hears my voice. So there's another difference. The devil's kingdom is all about lies. Jesus' is all about the truth. But now, let's get to the heart of the matter. Are you ready for that? Want to get to the heart of what the real difference? These are super differences, and there are a lot more, but the heart of the matter, the difference between Satan's kingdom and Christ's kingdom, I'd like to share with you now. Let's take a look at the devil's fall. Maybe we can get an insight there. Going back to what we looked at last week, Ezekiel 28, which I take to be speaking of the devil. It says, thus says the Lord God, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. With an anointed guardian cherub, I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. In the abundance of your trade you were filled with violence, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and the guardian cherub drove you out from the midst of the stones of fire. Watch this, verse 17. Here we're getting to the heart of it. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground, thus says the Lord. So, what can we say of the devil's kingdom? The heart of it, what do you think it is? Pride? Pride would be a good thing, right? What'd you say?
Self.
Oh, boy, you're good. You read the title to the sermon, didn't you, Vivian? It's the kingdom of self, right? Now, when God created man, and when he created the angels, he created us with a particular order, the right order to have. God at the top, right? And then self way down here at the bottom, right? And in the center, above self, is your neighbor. Does that make sense? God on the throne, then neighbor, put that straight, and then your self. What did Satan do? He says, I'm not content with this serving of my neighbor and serving and worshiping God. I will usurp the throne. I will cast God and the neighbor to the curb, and I will exalt the self. Right? To be number one at the top. I want to be like God. And we can read that also over here in Isaiah 14, right? Which I believe also speaks of the devil. God says in verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of dawn. How you're cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. For you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. There's the sin, right? What is that? What are we talking about here? Exalting of self, right? I will be God. I'm not going to serve him. I want his position. He was exalting himself above the right and holy order and seeking to be worshipped. He didn't want to serve anymore. He wanted to be served. The exaltation of the self. And therefore God says, but you're brought down to Sheol, to the depths of the pit. Because his kingdom is a kingdom of violence. There's no regard for neighbor. There's no regard for God. Self is number one and the only God for him. So it's a kingdom of self. And don't we see this then in the New Testament as well? Remember, the devil takes Jesus, right, into the wilderness. I mean, he's in the wilderness. He takes him to a very high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Remember that? And he says to Jesus, all these I'll give you, Jesus, if you will fall down and worship me. What's the devil really want? Worship, right? He wants to be God, exalting himself to the position of God. He wants to be worshipped. His kingdom, at the heart of it, is all about self, the kingdom of self, the exalting of self high above what is right as to where it is, kicking God and the neighbor to the curb. In fact, there's no place left for God or neighbor. And isn't this the heart of his dark kingdom? What do you think? He wants to be worshipped. You can see it in his angels too, can't you? If we look over here, his kingdom under him of his angels, Revelation 20, when God sends plagues, it says, Revelation 9, verse 20 says, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood. So what did the demons want to be? Were shipped. You with me here? Isn't the devil's kingdom a kingdom of self? If you look at Scripture, he exalts himself, and all of those who are with him, the demons, exalt themselves. They want also to be worshipped. They usurp the throne and want to exalt self. And so with the demons also, there's zero regard for neighbor. They don't want to serve. They want to be served. They want to be worshipped, not to worship. They are exalting themselves. And so I can just imagine, we don't see exactly how the devil deceived the angels, the third of the angels, so that they fell with him. But the angels left their proper dwelling, says the scripture, and were then condemned by God to eternal chains and the nether gloom of darkness, to the judgment of the great day. Some were cast down to the earth, that is, to terrorize and do evil on the earth, cast out of heaven. But I can just imagine Satan saying to the devil, saying to the demons, to the angels when they were good, saying, "Why are you content to be way down here underneath God and your neighbor? You know, why should he get all the glory and you serve? Follow me. We'll take over God's throne together and you shall be worshipped. We shall be like God. We shall be God ourselves." That was probably his temptation. That was the temptation by which Satan fell, right? The difference is Satan is tempting them with his temptation. Satan tempted himself. All right. Now, I'd ask you now, how about this one? How about the kingdom of man? Is the kingdom of men the kingdom of the devil? The kingdom of people? The exaltation of the self? Do we see that in the world? Oh, not now. I'm getting a little closer, right? Getting a little closer to your heart. Consider the original fall of man in the Bible. Let's take a look over here at Genesis 3. I know you know where I'm going, but that's the cool part about it. The serpent was more subtle, clever, than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say that you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" Of course, he's lying already. And the woman said to the serpent, "Well, we may freely eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened." Okay, he's lying again. And what does he say next? "And you will be like God, knowing good and evil." What's the temptation to man? The very first temptation, what is it?
Knowledge.
Well, yes, there's that. The exaltation of self. Same way devil tempted himself. Same way he tempted the angels, I believe. Same way he tempted man. Why are you content with this position, with God up here, and then the neighbor? Why don't you exalt self above God and be God yourselves and be worshipped? God is holding out on you. So the natural order, the right order, the holy order is God, then neighbor, then self. Satan's kingdom is all about self. It's the worship and the exaltation of self above all that is right. And I want to ask you a question then. Is this what we see in the world? Is the Bible speaking very accurately here of the kingdom of man? Well, we could look down through history. I mean, it's replete with a gazillion. It's the first time I've used that word, but a gazillion examples of man exalting himself. But let's take a look at like King Nebuchadnezzar. Remember him in Daniel chapter 4? One day he is, it says at the end of 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and the king said, "Is this not great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence for the glory of my majesty?" Isn't that the way most people work today? While the words were yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you." And basically, you're going to be driven into the wilderness and go crazy until you have learned that the Most High rules over the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whom he will. In other words, until you've learned that the self goes down here, God goes up here, and the neighbor goes over here. God humbled him until he got back into that order. This is the right order. Is that the right order in your heart, by the way? God is the king on the throne. Your neighbor comes before you, and self down here at the bottom. Well, as again, we'll take these off once more, because really the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of Satan, is the exaltation of self and self alone. I ask you a question. Where's love in this? There's no love of God, and certainly there's no love of your neighbor. You come first. You're number one, and that's really the root of all sin, right? If you put neighbor before you, that's loving your neighbor. If you put God over all, that's loving God. In the kingdom of Satan, it's all hate, okay? The angels, the demons don't like each other. They hate each other. Satan hates everybody. Everybody in his kingdom ends up hating everybody else. God's order, God, then neighbor, then self, works out in love, right? I love and serve my neighbor. And then we all love and serve God. And then God loves and serves us, even though he's at the height, he's on the throne. It's beautiful, just beautiful when God's order is right. When the self is exalted, it is disaster on parade. Do we see that in the world today? You know, when you look around at our world today, it's the fame and fortune of the rock star. What's the rock star want? Come on, come on, look at me. I want to be worshipped. You worship me, girl, right? That kind of thing. You know, you see that kind of talk out there. You got the super athlete. He's like, yeah, I'm number one. Putting everybody else down. They can't touch me, right? That kind of thing. That's the super athlete, some of them. The corporate CEO who gloats over his riches, how they're so much better than his lowly peon servants who work for him. The thief who believes he's cleverer than all the police. It's the exaltation of self. And you don't have to look at big examples like this. Look at our own lives, right? How happy I am high and you are low. That's the kingdom of the world. Can you see it even in babies? The little cute cuddly cherubs, right? As soon as they can begin to express themselves and you don't do what they want, you got pointed forks and blunted spoons being chucked at you, right? With a big screaming temper tantrum because it is me, the exaltation of the self. It's in the heart of man ever since Adam. It's in the world. This is the kingdom of the devil, Satan. What we're talking about is the kingdom of Christ coming into our hearts. But look at the world. You can look at, for example, we even have this magazine, which I got. You know what I got? Self. Right? I got this the other day, and I had to have Naomi buy it because I was embarrassed, right, to buy this. Even this should be embarrassing for her. Look at this. You know, here's a sexy girl on the cover. Run the world, self. You know, you're going to be your own God, if you will, right? 21 ways to reach any goal, body and beyond. Best sports bras, page 45. And then this one, soft, sexy hair and skin. What is this but the parade of self? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, right? You go to a bookstore, what do you see? Self-help books. Self-confidence, right? You see self-indulgence. Feed your hunger, quench your thirst, says the world. Believe in yourself. Love yourself. Be good to yourself. Look out for number one. And who's number one? Is you. Myself, right? I think if you were to ask any person on the street today, and they were really honest, and you say, who are your three favorite people in the world? They'd say, me, myself, and I. But check this out. Paul warned Timothy of the very last days. Of course, it's always been this way, but especially in the last days. He says, in the last days, understand this, that there will come times of stress, for men will be lovers of self. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, etc. That's a sign of the very end of the world. People will love themselves. And guess what we got going on in the world today? Magazines like this. Parade of self in the world. So that's the kingdom of Satan. How about the kingdom of Christ? Now let's turn around and look at that. What do we see in Christ? And what do we learn of his kingdom? Well, let's understand, when Christ was taken into the wilderness, or he was in the wilderness by the Spirit, but then the devil tempted him. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So Satan tempted him to this. What did Jesus do? He says, no, Satan. Self goes down here. Worship God and him only shall you serve. Right? Isn't this exactly what Jesus is doing here? Throughout his life, what does he say? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. How about at the very end of his life? Remember, he's facing death. He's about to go to the cross, bleed for us. Father, not my will, but thine be done. What is he doing? Where does Christ believe the self belongs? down here, right? And God on his throne at the top. This is Christ's kingdom. Is it the kingdom in your heart? Where did Christ place, what's the stand for, the N?
Neighbor.
Neighbor. Where did Christ place the neighbor? Jesus says in the Gospel of John, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So who comes ahead of himself?
Himself. His neighbor comes ahead of himself.
Isn't that true for Christ? Is this his order? If Christ, think about this, if Christ put himself above you and me, above his neighbor, he would never have gone to the cross, right? He went there because he believed, he puts you first ahead of himself, lays down his life for you. This is his kingdom. And guess what? It's beautiful. It's the kingdom of love. He self serves neighbor and all serve God, and God serves us. Think about this. Jesus' angels work the same way. In the letter, in Revelation, at one point, John the apostle is so overcome by the vision, he falls down to worship at the feet of an angel. Two times in Revelation, to worship. You know what the angel says both times? You know, the demons want to be worshipped. The angels of God are appalled, utterly appalled at the idea of being worshipped. Okay? This is their order. Okay? He falls down to worship the angel. The angel says, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your the brethren, the prophets. Worship God, right? Put him at the top. So Jesus works this way, does he not? Amen? Say yes. Yes, Jesus works this way. Do the angels work this way? God is at the top. Worship him. Don't worship me. Worship God. And I'm a fellow servant. In other words, I serve my neighbor. Jesus works this way. The angels work this way. And if you want to be part of his kingdom as a man, woman, what do you need to do? Jesus says this in Luke 9, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, put it from here down to here, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In other words, if you take the self and you want to save it and keep it at the top, guess what's going to happen to your life? You'll lose it, just like the angels. You're going to get judged, just like they did. But if you lose your life for my sake, humbly repent of your sins, put yourself at the bottom, let me come in and take on the throne, you'll save it. You're going to live because this is the proper order. And friends, this is so beautiful. It's so beautiful to be down here. This is the right order. It's lovely. It's full of love. How about the neighbor? Jesus says, Matthew 10, watch this. He who loves his father or his mother more than me is not worthy of me. So in other words, Jesus says, if you put neighbor here above self, if you love your father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me, right? That's the wrong order. The right order is to love your father and mother and your son and your daughter. That's great, but not above God. God comes first. Remember, what are the two great commandments? The greatest of all. Jesus says the first is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The self goes down here. Then comes the neighbor. Then comes God at the top. And that's so beautiful. It's just beautiful. It's lovely when that all works together. You can see that, for example, in the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember that? A guy goes down from Jericho, and he gets attacked, and he's bleeding, and he's left on the roadside. A priest comes along, and he looks at the man, and he says, oh, here's a man in distress, but it would be so inconvenient for me. I'm over him. The order's off, right? He passes by on the other side. A Levite comes along, sees his neighbor in need, exalts himself again. There's no love. That's Satan's kingdom. A Samaritan comes along, believes in God, I'm sure, but notice what he said. He sees his neighbor in need. I am his servant. He then goes and bathes and dresses his wounds, puts him on his own donkey, carries him to an inn, offers to pay everything necessary for this man. Jesus says, this man loved his neighbor. Go and do likewise. And what was the big thing? Where was his self? Right down at the bottom serving his neighbor above him, and then God number one. Is this the order in your heart? If we just keep this in mind, this is the order. It's so beautiful. It's absolutely lovely. But beware that even in the church, in the last days, it says there will come times of stress, says Paul. Men will be lovers of self, etc., holding the form of religion and denying the power of it. And, you know, I just got to say, be careful of the self being exalted, even in churches, in books that you might read. I have some examples here, but I'm kind of led by the Spirit saying, don't share these right now. The thing is put the self at the bottom. When God comes to save us, how does he save us? How does he save us? He says, the first thing we got to do is get the self off of the throne and put it down here. So he brings us the law and he shows us that we've sinned. And then what happens to yourself? You're crushed. You all of a sudden say, oh, I'm a terrible, I can't save myself. I'm a wicked sinner. The self is off the throne. Hooray! You feel terrible, but guess what? You're closer to salvation than you realize. Because then God says, oh, watch this. The throne is empty. You've repented of your sins. Now hear the good news. That my son Jesus Christ so loved you, I so loved you, I gave him to die for you. That you believing on him should not perish, but have eternal life. You then believe in him by the Spirit's work in you. You get justified by faith. God then is on your throne of your heart. You worship God. Rejoice in him as your Savior. Then you serve your neighbor in love. The angels serve you. You serve your neighbor. God serves you. You serve them. It's all a kingdom of love. And that's it. The kingdom of Satan is the kingdom of hate, the exaltation of self. The kingdom of Christ is the exaltation of God, and then followed by the exaltation of neighbor over yourself. And then self here, not unimportant. Yourself is very important. It just needs to be in the right place in the order. And then yourself comes last. And all this following Jesus, in whom we rejoice. He was in the form of God. He didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he did what? Emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And Paul says, and I'll end with this word, he says, have this mind, have this perspective amongst yourselves, which is yours, that is, which you see in Christ Jesus. The kingdom of Satan of self and hate, or the kingdom of Christ of the humbling of self and exaltation of God and love. In Jesus' name, amen.